There's a lot we don't know. And I used to know everything, but then I got out of my teens. And so then I didn't know everything anymore. And I knew everything about child rearing, then I had kids. Knew everything about marriage, and I got married. And so knew everything about finances, and then I had to deal with them. And I'm not saying we know, as we study the Word of God and get the wisdom of God, there's a lot we know. The overwhelming majority, the more we know God, the more we know the Word of God, the more light comes on and we see life. But there's just things the Lord just says we're not going to know. And it's very common in the Bible. People didn't know things. It is, it's part of the condition of man. And it's very difficult for people today to not know things. And it's in the Bible, people, they dealt with it, but they dealt with it. And but today we have a hard time not knowing certain things. And in Genesis 39, let's start at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord is with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was of the house, in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him oversee over all his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and over all that he had, that Joseph blessed the Egyptian's house. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save a bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Let's pray. We'll talk about when we don't know. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the great truth, Lord, as we will look at these passages. We'll go to the New Testament. We'll go to Psalm. We'll go here and there, Father. It's a great truth, Lord. I pray that we would rest in you and understand your way. Lord, send your Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Convict hearts of unbelief and lack of trust. And help us to be drawn to complete faith and rest in you. Speak to us, Lord, and make this an anointed message. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And so please help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We've talked about a lot of things. Tonight's message is being secure while not knowing. Being secure while not knowing. We've talked about a bunch of things we don't know and we do not know. We said the first thing is we don't know how good heaven is. It's beyond the comprehension of humans. We had two sermons on why bad things happen. There's some things we don't know until later. We gave many Bible illustrations, and some things we don't know till heaven. We talked about not knowing how long, and it's very common in the Bible to say, how long, O Lord? And we do not, on our side, know how long something's going to last. We don't know what's next and what's going to happen. We don't know how long we're going to live. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We don't know who will draw back on God. And that him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We don't know if you or I or anybody, we don't know who's going to quit or go back or be drawn away. Lord, is it I? And we don't know when Jesus will come. Only the experts do, but the angels don't. And so we don't know when Jesus is going to come. And so he could come back tonight, come back in 100 years. We don't know. He doesn't. He says, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons. And no man knows, Jesus said. And he'll come when you don't expect it. That's all we know. I come in such an hour as you think not. And so we don't know a whole bunch of things that we found out. Boy, that's a lot of things we don't know. See, humans are very proud. They don't like to say, I don't know. As a matter of fact, most people don't think you can be a leader if you do not give a solid, absolute, confident answer in everything. I don't think you can lead that way. And maybe you can't, people today. I just know I can't be dishonest and say, this is why this is happening to you. Boy, you got some knowledge there, don't you? And a lot of times, I don't know why something's happened to somebody. And David didn't know why things were happening to him. A whole bunch of people in the Bible didn't know. And Jesus said, my God, why? And why hast thou forsaken me? So we see, you don't always know everything. And so people want absolute knowledge. They can't rest with their feet off the ground. And of life without the knowledge of why this is happening to me. But I say we've got to learn to be secure in not knowing. And be just fine with not knowing. And maybe we will ask why, Lord, or how long, Lord, or we can ask the questions, we can wonder. There's nothing wrong with that. And many times God will tell us, and many times God shows us. Paul wanted to get rid of his thorn in the flesh. God said no, and here is why. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. So he knew why. And so we can ask God, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying if God doesn't choose to tell you why, if God doesn't reveal things, if you have to go forward without the knowledge of why or when or how, and you have to just continue on, you need to be good with that. You need to be able to accept that. And sometimes you won't find out till heaven. There's just things you don't know, and you will not know. There'll be things where you don't think God is fair. And you got to say, well, I have to go on. So how am I going to do this? Well, I have to be okay with not understanding it and say, you know what? He must be fair because who he is. But I don't see maybe how this is fair. My kids have been through that a million times. They didn't think what our punishment was or what our treatment was fair, but they were five. And understand, as Job said, I'm like a child in your sight, Lord. I don't know anything. That's the way we are to God. Your knowledge compared to God is worse than a child compared to an adult. And so we've got to be able to do that. Here in this story, Joseph had a couple dreams. In both dreams, in one dream, the sheaves bowed down to him, all of his brothers, and him being the youngest at the time, the little guy, and down at the bottom of the totem pole, that was pretty offensive. And we know from the scripture that the youngest is always the best in the family. And how many of the youngest here? All right, see there? That's the truth. And he said, you're going to bow down to me. They got offended at that. And then the next dream he has, he says he was a star and the other stars around him are going to bow down to him. And the sun and the moon, mom and dad, are going to bow down to me. And they said, and even dad and mom said, whoa, who do you think you are? And he said, he being a young man just said, this is just a dream I had. It was a very powerful dream. And I was just telling you. And so they were like, well, then dad makes it very evident that Joseph's the favorite, buys him a coat of many colors, and makes it for him and gives it to him, buys it, I'm thinking of modern things, went down to Sears and there it was on sale, and he buys him the coat of many colors, and he's wearing it, and he's the one he loves the most because he had him in his old age, and so everybody's jealous of him, they don't like him. He obeys his dad, he goes to visit his brothers, they see him coming and say, let's kill him. And so one of the brothers, Reuben, talks him out of it. So they throw him in a pit to decide what to do. Then they see some Ishmaelites walking by, and they're going down to Egypt to sell things. They say, hey, let's make some money off this. They sell it to their brother to them, make a few thousand dollars, pocket the money, and he's off to Egypt. They don't know where. He doesn't know where. He gets sold into Potiphar's house. And Potiphar sees how diligent he is and how blessed he is by God, and everything he touches is blessed. And so he makes him ruler over all of his house and makes him in charge of everything. And as you know the story, Joseph is Potiphar's house is blessed, and he gives him everything. And Joseph's doing well and prospering. Now, I believe Joseph is still serving God, being faithful to God, probably wondering why in the world is this happening? It sure seemed like these visions and dreams are from God, but they sure aren't happening. I mean, I'm a long way from my brothers and sisters bowing down to me, and my mom and dad. Matter of fact, they don't even know I'm alive. But he does, he pleases God while he's there, not knowing, not understanding The Bible says the Lord's with him. He's pleasing God. He's working for God. It repeats that over and over. Well, Potiphar's wife tries to commit adultery with him. Joseph does a wise thing, and he runs, flee youthful lust. He runs off. She catches his coat. Potiphar comes home, says, look what this guy tried to rape me, and he throws him into prison. And what does Joseph do? He's faithful, serves the Lord there. The Lord's with him there. They put him over the prison. A couple people visit him, and he gives dreams for them. God's still speaking with him. He still has these abilities. He's interpreting dreams. God is still working through him, and he's still following God, probably saying, why in the world am I suffering so bad? I didn't do anything to my brothers and sisters. I didn't do anything to Potiphar or his wife. I've been falsely accused. Yet he's not sitting there in bitterness. He's not saying, oh, this is hopeless. God, this isn't fair, and throwing up his arms and quitting life. He is continuing to serve people, to have God be with him, to serve the Lord. But he still is probably saying, what's going on? And as he goes on, if you go, you can just see him thinking in chapter 40. You can see how he's kind of saying, what is going on here? And in chapter 40, in verse 15, he says, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. Do you think he's thinking, why am I here? Why is this happening to me? I'm doing the right thing everywhere I go, and it goes from bad to worse. That's a big why right there. That's probably a bigger why than any of you and I have in our whole lives. I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong we know of here, and his brothers and sisters sell him, threaten to kill him, are going to kill him. He becomes a slave in a faraway land. He's committed. He's accused of adultery. It doesn't do it, but thrown into prison now. And he says, I've done nothing wrong. And so he doesn't know why this is, but he's staying faithful to God. The Lord is with him. Look at verse 2. It says in chapter 39 in verse 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph. The middle of verse 5, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Verse 3, the Lord is with Joseph, it says. His master saw the Lord is with Joseph. Verse 21, but the Lord is with Joseph, and now he's in prison and the Lord is with him. Bad things are happening to him. He's been falsely accused and convicted and thrown into prison, and it says the Lord is with him in prison. In verse 21, the Lord is with him. He knew that he was wronged, but he kept right. In the very end, after his brothers made a trip up during a famine and they came up a couple times, and I'm not going to belabor the whole story, but eventually he says, hey, listen, guys, you threw me into a pit. You meant to do me evil. And that's true. But it wasn't just the whole thing of they meant me evil. He says in chapter 50, at the end of the book, he says, verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph was okay. We don't know what extent, but okay enough to continue to do right, not knowing and seeing injustices, but he trusted God enough that he kept on going until he was able to see why. He was secure while he didn't know enough to keep serving God. You quit if you do not have security in God. You quit. You eventually become discouraged and quit. Hebrews 11, and I'm going to wander a little bit now in some verses there. But you'll quit unless you are secure in not knowing. But inquiring minds want to know. No, they're gossips. And that's why they read the Inquirer. And they are inquiring minds. And we don't have to know. Chapter Hebrews 11, the famous verse 6. But without faith, What is the faith, the definition of faith? Verse 1, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, he's got to do two things. He must believe that he is, there is a God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's going to take faith. Then we can go through this list. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, as things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Rain's coming. What's rain? I don't know. But go build an ark. And he built an ark for 100 years, not knowing what rain was. And he prepared an ark. It had never rained. But he didn't have to even know what rain was. He didn't have to know. He had directions, and he knew who he believed in. He just had faith. We illustrate it this way, and I've used this many times with people individually, of someone you trust the most in the entire world running up to you and saying, it's an emergency, I don't have time to explain, give me your keys and your wallet. And the person you trust the most in the world, and you go, you got to tell me about this afterward. And you hand them your stuff. Why? Because you know who you're trusting. Would you like to know why? Yes. Do you have to know why? You don't have to know why if you trust them enough. So what if the car doesn't come back all day? You say, honey, can you come pick me up? I got to tell you something crazy. And your wife says, you're nuts. Why did you do that? Just, I trust them. And your car's not back at the end of the day. You might try calling them on their cell phone. Yeah, you're going to wonder. Nothing wrong with saying, Lord, hey, what's going on here? But you know who you're trusting. And so you're okay. You're secure in not knowing, though you're curious as humans are. You're okay with that, but you've got to go on. You've got the hand in the keys. You got to do that. His trust was well placed, Joseph's trust, where it's trust enough to keep on doing right, to keep serving God in the prison, to go over when he gets in there, to keep doing the right thing when he's a slave with Potiphar, to keep doing the right thing. He had to trust God enough to not know why he was there, and later on he'd find out, but he had to trust God enough to be secure enough to keep on doing right when he didn't understand why. If the person you love in life gets tragically sick and possibly dies before you would like them to and before you think it's fair, you might say, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand. I don't think this is fair. However, you continue to do the right thing because you know who he is and you trust him enough that you'll find out someday and you believe him. But you must be secure in who he is because you will not always understand, i.e. Joseph. I'm doing the right thing, and now I'm a slave. Now I'm a slave in prison, falsely accused. But he continues to do the right thing, though he probably said, I didn't do anything wrong. Lord, this doesn't make any sense. Why in the world did you do this to me? What did I do? I don't understand. And later on, he found out God meant this for good. I'm the number two man in the most powerful kingdom in the world. I can keep my family alive, and everything's good. And so you know who you're trusting. You must trust and be secure, not knowing, but because of who you know. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. Just a little bit back from Hebrews there. I actually wrote 1 Timothy, but it's 2nd actually, if I'm not mistaken. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. So he's suffering. He's going through terrible. He calls it a partaker of the afflictions in verse 8. For which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Vital, you understand, he doesn't say, because I know what is going on. It's not what he knows, it's who he knows. That's the key. It's not what you know, it's who you know. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, And through all this suffering comes to me, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So Timothy, you hold fast. 1 Peter chapter 4. Security, not an understanding why it's happening, not understanding the circumstances. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But security in who you know that works all things together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I'm suffering. I'm suffering for being a Christian. Lord, I give you my soul. You're a faithful creator. I trust you. If I die, it's your will. If I'm fed to the lions, if I'm burned at the stake, I'm committing my soul to you in this suffering. 1 Peter 4:19. They're committing their soul. Now Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light. He's going to bring it to pass. And thy judgment is a noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. He's saying there that just don't get so stressed out. There's wicked people who are being blessed, and you're doing right, and you're suffering. Just wait patiently for the Lord. He'll bring everything to pass. It's okay. Just wait. Just trust him. If I wouldn't have understood this truth, this church would not be here today. When I started this church, I had these insane visions of things that I believe God gave me, these visions that he was going to do. And they're kind of crazy. I don't really tell anybody because they're so crazy. And nobody has faith. So I just say, you know what, you'll see it. You won't have that faith. Then I came here, ready to tear up the world, and ran 7 on an average the first year with my family of 5. And I've had so many pastors, why do you think that happened? Here's the deep truth I give them. I have no idea. That's what I tell them. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not the greatest pastor. Seattle's a hard area. I need to learn a whole bunch of things. I learned a lot. Hey, I am totally happy. I would not preach any harder tonight if I had 10,000 people out there. I am the same motivated by one person as I am by 10,000. I'm just me. And that's a great truth I learned. And I learned, be thankful if anybody comes and you get to preach the word of God to them. As long as there's a warm body there, be happy. And if they're cold, it's okay until the visitor, as long as they stay upright until the visitors leave. I'm glad to have anybody there. And by the way, they'd probably pay as much attention as some people do. I learned some things, but I don't really know why that happened. I know I've hit up a lot of pastors who wanted to quit. Maybe that's why. That's fine. He hasn't told me why. I'm just guessing. Now, I can do the spiritual thing. I'll tell you exactly why. God told me that it's because I need to learn to preach to anybody and be happy and if anybody's there, and because I'll be an encouraged preacher someday. I could say that like confidently, but God didn't tell me that. The Bible didn't say that. Now, God sometimes will tell you stuff. He told Paul. Sometimes he tells me, this is why this happened. He didn't have to tell me why. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He can do whatever he wants. If everybody in the church up and leaves tonight and hates my guts, he didn't owe me an explanation. I'm lucky to be breathing his air. It's by the Lord's mercies I'm not consumed. I deserve nothing but hell. Why is this happening? I demand you tell me. Don't do that when you're standing close to me. He didn't tell you anything. Well, why do we say to our kids, I don't have to explain why, just do it. Can you imagine if every boss had to do that to his employee? Why do I have to do that? I want you to explain why I have to screw that in that way. Just do it. I might explain it, I might not, but you got. I'm the boss. Can you imagine privates saying that to drill sergeants? When people, cadets and people in basic training. Why do I have to do that many push-ups? I want an explanation right now. I demand. I will not do one more push-up until you tell me why. Come on. Why do we do that to God? I already know God must be good because he sent his son to die for me. If he did that, he's got to be good. If he's that good, I can just, boy, Lord, when I get to heaven, this is going to be a very interesting explanation. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, would you please show me why he did that? Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying until he gives you explanation, if he does on earth, which he doesn't always, you know what you say? Well, I don't know. I'll just keep on serving the Lord anyway. Amen. That's what you do. Because you must be secure in who he is. But he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Just a little bit of that vision. You thought I forgot about it. This a little bit of that vision, I'm starting to see now. 16 years later. A million times I thought, no, I know that was the Holy Spirit. I've never in my life misread the Holy Spirit. Never one time. It's always been very clear to me. And God showed me those visions. And one of those things was training pastors. And I'll be training pastors in Haiti in June, probably 250, 300 of them. I'll be training pastors next year in the Philippines. But I didn't see the color of the pastor's face. I kind of just assumed they'd be American pastors. By the way, I'd much rather train overseas pastors. American pastors are a pain. Man, give me third worlders. They're willing to go march on hell with a squirt gun. American pastors got to have, you know, a water cannon and $10 million in the bank, or they, you know, can't live by faith. And, I'm perfectly, but, you know, I didn't see the faces of who I was training. But I'm sitting there running, nobody's in church, my wife and kids, and I'm preaching to my family in the front row there, thinking, I'm training pastors? To what, fail? How to lose friends and infuriate people? What am I going to train them? But, you know, I just knew God was good. He was the father of the fathers to me. He loved me and gave his son, knowing all of my sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Any God who's that good, I don't know how he's going to use this thing, but he can do what he wants. I know who he is. Now, I wish I was always perfect at that. But I want to say, I've talked to those pastors who are angry and say, I don't understand why the church isn't growing. I don't understand why my finances are so messed up and I'm here serving God. And they aren't saying, but God's good and I trust him. And they're getting bitter and angry. And I know when they get that tone, I already know. I just wonder if it's going to be 1 month or 3 months before they're out of the ministry. Because I know they're going to be out of the ministry. I've never stopped one of them from getting out of the ministry. Talk to a lot of them. I never stopped a one of them. Why? Because when you don't think God's good and he's got to give you an explanation, and he's going to say, I don't got to do anything. Serve me because I'm God. I gave my son for you. You don't need to wonder if I'm good. And when you get that, you're not going to keep serving him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said this: Know thou, O King Nebuchadnezzar, that our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we won't bow down anyway. Said, you know what? God can deliver us. I don't know if he's gonna. But if he doesn't, I ain't gonna bow down anyway. Why? They didn't have to know God was gonna deliver them. They were gonna do right either way. Okay, that they had to do that. Let me take you to Psalm 46, real pretty chapter. We'll finish up with this. It's simple. The message is, it's who you believe in, not what you know. If you're secure enough in who it is, you do not have to know. You can continue on while not knowing. Nothing wrong with curiosity, but you got to continue on. We'll read this whole chapter and just watch somebody saying, it doesn't matter what happens, I ain't going to get shook up. I trust God. God knows what he's doing. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. That would be quite the circumstance there. Hey, why is the earth removed? That's a pretty big circumstance being messed up. I mean, that's bigger than why do I get cancer? Or bigger than why is my health failing? Or why did I lose my job? Doesn't matter if the whole earth is removed. Doesn't matter. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. Why? Because God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, we won't fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. It's not circumstances that are going to make me be moved or not moved. You imagine, hey, check it out, guys. There goes Mount Rainier, just past Olympia. It's going there. Went past Shelton. It's going. Ha! It went to the Pacific Ocean. Wow. There's going to be some surprise skiers at the bottom of the hill. And we watch that, and we say that, and we say, but you know what? He says, we're not going to be shook. Our hope's in God. If he wants to destroy the world, if he wants to make the Cascade Mountains go east or west or north or south, doesn't matter. We're not shook up. One of our relatives is right next to Yellowstone. And my family lives pretty close, not too far from Mount Hood down in Oregon. And they called my mom and they said, we are always so worried about you there living right next to that volcano. Mom says, do you not know what Yellowstone is? It's a caldera. It's the biggest volcano in the world. And if we're going to be missing states if it ever blows. But you know, we're not moved. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains are thrown in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake themselves with swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth is melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh the wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Why is America going so bad? Why is it going so terrible? What are we going to do if this nation changes? Serve God. Let them pass all the laws they want. Let them think they won. Eternity is a real long time to catch up. I know who's in charge. I read the end of the book. I know who wins. We know who he is. We know he's all-powerful. We know he'll judge the earth. We know he's omnipotent. We know he's omniscient. We know he knows what's going on. We know he could change anything. We know who we believe in. So we don't understand. We don't see why. And so our unsaved friends come to us and say, why, but God, if you're serving him, let this happen to you. You can try to spew out the platitudes. You can say, I know exactly why. Maybe you do, and that's fine if you know exactly why. But you know what? The first thing you say is, you know what? God's God and God's good, whether I know why or not. I trust him. That's the best answer. Now you might say, watch this, God's going to work, or God told me why. But first of all, just start off with, I don't need to know why God did this. I already trust him. I'm his. He can do whatever he wants. I'm secure in him. So you're secure in who he is. You hand the wallet, the keys, the person you trust the most. You say, I wonder why they did that. Did they drive off? But you're not worried that they're stealing your car and stealing your identity because you know who they are. You rest in God. You say, I don't know why. I don't understand why. And we preach all these sermons, things we don't know, things we don't know, things we don't know, and things we don't know. If you want to keep serving God, the devil's going to give you something. You're going to say, this seems unfair. And at that point, you will go one of two roads. Boy, God, I know who you are. I don't understand this, but I know it must be good for a good reason. Or you say, this makes me mad. I'm not going to keep doing right in this prison because I shouldn't be in the prison. It's not fair. I did right. I didn't do anything wrong. You gave me this dream. I told them about what you gave me, and they got mad at me, and then they sold me as a slave. I did the right thing like you wanted me to. Now I'm a slave in prison. Or you can say, Lord, this is weird. I know I'm doing the right thing. This is, why am I here? I'm going to keep serving you because I know you're a good God. Which branch are you going to go on in life? See, Joseph later said, hey guys, I'll tell you why. God showed me. He saved my whole family from this. However, and by the way, why couldn't God have just stopped the famine so they could have eaten instead of having Joseph go through that? I don't know. I'll ask him when I get there. That's why make sure you're saved. You got some questions. If you think I had know everything, every reason God did everything he did, I don't know why God did everything he did. I just know who he is, that he's very loving and kind, loves his children more than I love my children and my kids. I always want to do good things for them. So I trust him. And if whatever he wants to do, he wants to do. If open door in 10 years runs 40 people, fine. He can do what he wants. If you run 40,000, fine. I don't care. He can do whatever he wants. I'm his. If I get sick next week, I'm sick next week. Don't want it? I'll ask why. But I think I'll keep serving him. Why? Because I'm trusting not what he does, but who he is. Because a lot of things I don't know what he's doing. Don't have to know. I know who he is. I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So when we don't know, those things we don't know, and there's a lot we know, but those things we don't know, just rest patiently in the Lord and say, Lord, reveal this to me someday, and he will. Then it will be we shall know even as we are also known. The Bible says. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, may we be secure in knowing who you are, Father. May we keep on doing the right thing. As we finish up this series of things we don't know, I pray, Lord, that we would know you so we don't have to know everything. I pray we trust you, though we don't have the understanding of why or what, but we know who. And we can say we know all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we can say that by faith when you don't see how everything's working together for good yet. And we, like Joseph, can sit in a cell and say, I did nothing wrong, but I'm still going to keep doing right. Because God must have a purpose in me being here. And Lord, he saved much people alive, and we can read this and be encouraged, but we don't know. We don't have foresight. So we just got to do right. Because we love you and because we trust you. We must believe that you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And we, by faith, have got to trust you. That's what faith is, Lord, trusting who you are when we can't see. So please help us to do so and grasp this and live in this and not fail in this and help us because we're weak and our faith sometimes fails. But may, as we went through this whole series, get the whole gist of it is there's things we don't know, Lord. And maybe keep that with us. In everyday life and in the big things of life. Pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to have an